trails to you until we meet again.
We put the wraps on our morning session. Phil and I hope all your trails are happy until we talk again later from WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. It is 31 degrees this morning as we hit 9 o'clock and bring on the news, sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A classified briefing expected today on a new space-based nuclear threat reportedly posed by Russia. ABC's Martha Raddatz.
Sources telling ABC News that the U.S. believes Russia is working on plans to position a nuclear weapon in space, a blatant violation of multiple international agreements. The intended target, not Earth, but the critical satellite circling around it, vital for communications and military operations.
In Kansas City, the investigation continues into finding a motive behind the mass shooting. And just after the Super Bowl victory rally was ending, more than 20 people were wounded. One woman was killed.
The FBI is now working with local authorities on this. Again, they're asking any bystanders who may have video of the incident to contact police. An exact motive remains under investigation.
ABC's Alex Perez. Another private company taking a shot at the moon. It lifted off this morning, hoping its lunar landing will be there by February 22nd. This is ABC News. New Israeli operations in southern Gaza, focusing on the main hospital in Khan Yunis.
Israeli forces have been in the midst of a raid on Nasser Hospital, where they say they're searching for members of Hamas, who they've accused of conducting military operations out of the hospital. And they say they're also searching for the bodies of hostages that may be held inside. There had been a report from at least one hostage who was rescued that they were held in a room there for several days in the midst of their captivity.
That's ABC's Marcus Moore in Tel Aviv. Khan Yunis has been the target of Israeli operations in recent weeks. Lawmakers in Greece today are set to vote on whether to legalize same-sex marriage. The Greek Orthodox Church staunchly against the proposal, but recent polls show that most Greek people support the idea, albeit by a slim margin. And an NBA player arrested for a fight on the court. Detroit's Isaiah Stewart charged with assault for allegedly slugging Suns player Drew Eubanks before last night's game. Eubanks calling it a sucker punch. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep fried or baked fish. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, the area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
This is Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Like you, we are working our way through the current trying times, making decisions that are best one day at a time. Our priority is, as it has always been, to care for you and your family and pay close attention to all your needs and concerns while doing all we can to keep you safe. Your questions are always welcomed at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 35 with some sunshine, passing clouds tonight and 20. Friday, partly sunny and colder, a high of 27. Friday night's low, 9, and Saturday, 29 degrees. Sunday, 37, and then Monday, 43. West winds are at 5 miles per hour this morning, making it feel a little cooler. We're at 31 degrees.
Winter is the season at Vitesnik Power Sports for snowmobiles and boat shows. Beat the crowds and the admission at our in-house boat show, February 23rd to the 25th. Come see the great deals from brands like Tracker, SunTracker, Ranger, Regency, Nitro, Tahoe, Triton, and Sea-Doo. Our clearance models won't last long. Join us at Vitesnik's in-house boat show, February 23rd to the 25th. Vitesnik Power Sports, Richland Center, and Vitesnik.com.
Coach Johnson would love to spread some health and hope this month. In honor of Valentine's Day being the 14th, I'll provide 14% off this month for those who place a new order with me. You can reach out on Facebook or contact me at 608-604-7751. Others took advantage of last month's offer, and that group is down over 100 pounds already. Are you ready to lose weight, maintain, or add muscle? Our program can help. You know me, I love to coach. Contact Coach Johnson today, have an informed conversation, and get 14% off.
Kick off your weekend with TKO Barbecue Bar and Grill in Richland Center. Fridays are all about mouth-watering fish, and Saturdays it's prime rib perfection. Planning a special event? They've got you covered with catering and a banquet hall. Reservations welcome. From their homemade bacon to daily barbecue specials, they keep you guessing. Open from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Closed on Tuesdays. Dive into the fish and prime rib from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Complimented by a fresh salad bar every day. Enjoy quality meat from your hometown locker and savor the perfection of hand-cut fries. TKO Barbecue, where every meal is a knockout.
When you visit the Shoebox, it's like going back in time, with customer service being the number one priority. Now is the time to visit the Shoebox, with track, baseball, and softball season soon getting underway. The Shoebox takes pride in making sure all athletes get the pair of shoes they need to compete at a high level. From the beginner athlete all the way to the pros, you'll receive service like it ought to be at the Shoebox in Black Earth.
Contact D&T Well Service for well service and replacement. Mary and Derek McCormick, owners of D&T Well Service, are insured, and they do new installs and fix existing systems. Submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Well Service, 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Well Service, 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
On our morning show talk today, we have Steve Borg, Richland Center School District Administrator, joining us here today to talk about many topics. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Phil. It's great to be here. Seems like when I was here in January, we had snow. You know, I was right during the middle of that 1 week of snow. So I'm wondering if maybe this is an omen that we have going here. We haven't had that much snow, but whenever I'm on the morning show, we get some. So
right, yeah.
I hope that doesn't continue into May.
Yeah, I hope not either. So what was the word this morning? Because you border a couple of districts that went late, but was the general consensus that it was pretty good this morning?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we had warm enough roads that most of it melt. You know, we didn't get as much. I did see that Kickapoo and I believe Riverdale both ended up with a delay, but there's kind of a group text around the area, and so it's nice to see what other school districts are doing as we're trying to make the decision. But John Bosworth, our business official and transportation director, he was in contact, I know, this morning with our county dispatch, see what the roads are like, our county highway department, see what the roads are like, and in the end deemed that it was safe for our students to be able to get here safely, and I believe that we did that without any delays.
Good deal. Recently, you had the community forum, and I think you were really pleased with the way that it was attended.
Yeah, I was. You know, when I was on last with Al Lenz and Dean Amundson, you know, we spoke and kind of talked about the community forum, and I think you had asked me at the very end, what am I hoping to get out of it? And I had, you know, said that I just want people to be informed. I want people to get factual information. We don't all have to agree on everything in the end, but we need to make decisions based on real facts and not rumors or what we see on social media or those kinds of things. And as a result, people needed to attend this to be able to get, you know, good, honest, factual information. And so I was ecstatic about the number of people that turned out. I believe between the two sessions, we were, you know, right around 170 people attended. I know that earlier this week, I believe on Monday, I hopped on the YouTube video that Nova Video had posted, and I believe there were 441 views of the presentation on YouTube. So, you know, we're pushing, you know, 650 people that have now seen this presentation either in person or via video, and it's prompted some questions. It's prompted some emails that have come my way or our board's way, and we welcome all of those, because when people ask questions, it means that they truly want to find out some answers, and everybody has been ultra respectful. We've gotten a lot of positive comments about the community forum in general. I think it's something that the city and the county and certainly the school district and the folks that were involved there want to continue to show our community and our county transparency, show that we're working together. And while the school district, you know, kind of had the spotlight on this particular forum, you know, the county and the city will have equally big things coming up in their agendas, and we will need an opportunity to get the word out to people. In the end, we all have to work together. We all have to be informed, and we are truly part of the same community, and we all benefit. When one of us benefits, all of us benefit, and I think that that's something that our community needs to remember.
So what are some common questions that you typically got from both sessions, Steve?
Yeah, that's a great question in of itself. I thought it was a really a nice format. You know, Ron Fruit came out of retirement, I'll call it, and, you know, emceed it, and I was just grateful for him. He's so articulate and so good with all of that. But, you know, some of the things that came up, just general questions was, you know, what is the school district going to do with Simons? You know, we heard that they were taking over Simons, and we wanted to dispel that myth right away, right? The school district is not taking over Simons. This referendum does not incorporate Simons or the campus gymnasium in any fashion. This was something that was just kind of an idea that was thrown out there. And it maybe was even the catalyst for prompting this community forum, as we did get together with the county and the community and the Simons Foundation Board and those folks. What I believe, you know, it did is, while it's not part of this referendum, it will allow us to keep the conversations going. I've said all along, the school district does not need to own or operate Simons. You know, we just want to make sure that it continues to be a viable part of our community long term. And we want to be part of a solution if that's what's needed. And if there's a better alternative or a better solution, then we fully support that as well. What the school district really needs is, you know, some additional gym space. When we moved the 7th and 8th graders up to the high school, that created some space constraints, both during our physical education classes as well as our after-school and extracurricular activities. Prior to this year, we had been able to use the campus gymnasium when the campus was in existence. And because now they're in kind of this, and I certainly don't know all the details, but this negotiation in terms of a buyout of this lease that has 18 years remaining on it, as a result of that, we've not been allowed to use that campus gymnasium. And so we've really, really felt the pinch this year, not having that extra gym available to us. And so that's something that, again, we're going to continue to be in communication with our county and the UW, or via the county and the city, to see is there a solution there that would make this a viable part of our school and our community long term. So that was one of the questions that certainly got brought up. Another question was, you know, how do we know that the money is going to be spent on the things that you're saying it's going to be spent on? Because, again, I'll go back to this 2016 referendum when we had a referendum that was revolving around safety and security. And at that time, the hope was to put air conditioning in the buildings that we had, which included Jefferson, Lincoln, Doudna, and the primary school at that time. And the architects had allowed a budget for that. They went to referendum. Referendums passed. Okay, and then when the bids came in, the air conditioning was, the scope of project was too big. They couldn't fit it into the amount that they had. And so the board had to decide, you know, what do we do? And again, this was all done in a public board meeting that they made this decision, but they pulled air conditioning out of that. Well, when we went to referendum in 2020, that was a very, very common theme that I heard, and that I think administratively that we heard, was you lied to us in 2016. You said this was going to happen, and it didn't. And so one of the things that's different about this referendum compared to those previous ones is the wording in the referendum question in 2016 was a little more general. And I don't have the exact words in front of me to be able to recite it verbatim, but generally speaking, it was more along the lines of district-wide improvements, okay? Just a very vague statement that a lot of different things can fit in. And so it's very easy to accommodate that question by state law, okay, when you're just talking about general district improvements. This referendum question specifically outlines all of the different components that we've talked about, those seven different priorities. It specifically references air conditioning in the primary school and the intermediate school. It specifically addresses ADA compliance and safety and technical education upgrades and auditorium upgrades. And therefore, we're bound by law to fulfill that, okay? And so having air conditioning in those other two buildings, there's no workaround. If we end up with a higher scope than what we have for money available, then something else has to give. It won't be those things that are specifically outlined in the question. And that was done to really try to tell the public that this is we're going to do this. We have to do this, and we're so committed to doing this that we're going to put it right in the referendum question. And so, again, that was one of the other questions that came up. You know, a common question is, well, what happens if they fail, right? In 2020, we had a failed referendum in November of 2020, and then again in the spring of 2021. And then all of a sudden you combined, you know, buildings and had grades all together, and, you know, they didn't feel like they were informed. And so we want to make sure that people understand what happens if these things fail. Well, the answer to that is quite simply, if question one, which is the operational referendum, which has no tax rate increase, this is $2.3 million this next year, specifically aligned for the people and the programming opportunities that we have for our children, okay, and our students. So people relates to positions. We have 5.5 FTE positions that were added after the pandemic, and if this referendum passes, we will be able to keep those 5.5 positions. If it fails, we would be forced to eliminate those 5.5 positions. These are teaching positions, and that would happen for the start of the 24-25 school year. That's a given. That will happen. In addition, we want to take some of that money and make sure that we are paying our staff competitive wages. And this is not just teachers. This is all of our staff. Okay, we continue to see us losing employees to neighboring districts or private sector, and you know, then we have to replace them with inexperienced or people that aren't as qualified as the people that we're losing, and we don't want that. We want our district to be a place that people not only come to but stay. And while you don't have to be necessarily the top paying district around, you do have to be very competitive, because finances do matter. We all know that we're going through high inflation in, you know, state and as a country, and while that seems to be a little bit under control, the dollar doesn't go as far now as it did, you know, even 5 years ago. And so when a teacher or a staff member has an opportunity to go to a neighboring district and make $4,000 or $5,000 more a year, that is a big deal and something that we need to be aware of. And so if the question one doesn't pass, we will be forced to eliminate those 5.5 positions that were added, and our staff will unfortunately continue to be underpaid. Those will be the two biggest things. If the capital question fails, then we're going to continue to have another year of deferred maintenance. We're going to continue to have another year where we don't have the high school roof completely fixed. Our technical education spaces and our auditorium will continue to have 30-plus year old equipment in it. And estimates are that even if we wait 1 year on completing these projects, we're looking at an additional $1.4 million. And so what costs $27 million now is going to cost, you know, pushing $28.5 million in 1 year if it passes. And you can just imagine what that costs 2-3 years down the road. The longer we push this stuff off, the more expensive it's going to be. And so, you know, we have needs. We have reasons that you know, we have to go to referendum right now. And so this is one of the things that we're asking. Couple that with, you know, we often get the question, why doesn't the district budget for these things? They know they've got a roof, it's going to last 20 years or 25 years. Why don't they just budget and plan for those things? And again, the simple answer is, you know, if we budget for everything that is deferred maintenance, we have very little money left for staffing and opportunities for our students. And one example I would use is our high school roof. Okay, again, our quote-unquote new high school that's now pushing 30 years old, that roof is about a $4 million project. Okay, if we were to say this is a 20-year roof, let's plan on saving that money over the next 20 years, that's $200,000 a year. That's the equivalent of 3 teaching staff, right? That would mean that if we were going to say, let's put this money away for 20 years from now, we would have to eliminate 3 teachers just to save that $200,000 each year. And that's just one roof on one building. That doesn't have anything to do with the other roofs, the maintenance that we have to do, hard surface areas, keeping things up to code, all of those things. If you start factoring all of that stuff in, you simply would be reducing your staff so far that the educational opportunities that we provide our students would be truly, truly impacted by that. And this is, again, common for all schools in the state of Wisconsin. During the presentation, I showed a map of all the school districts that had went to referendum in the last 4 years, and then all of them that are planning on going this February or April. Okay, I didn't even include the November, which I anticipate another group of school districts going. And, you know, we're talking two-thirds of the districts. Just in the last couple of years, two-thirds of the districts in the state of Wisconsin have had to go to referendum. And it's because of the same thing. The state funding formula just is not adequate enough to be able to keep up with the maintenance needs and the deferred maintenance that school districts are putting off. And they're doing exactly what we've done. Let's keep our teachers, let's keep our staff in place so we can provide the best educational experience possible for our students, knowing that at some point we're going to have to go to referendum and get some of this stuff fixed. And that's the point we're at. And our board approached it, and I would agree with this, that let's not put a Band-Aid on it. Let's not just do a referendum that's going to get us out another 3 or 4 years and then have to come back for another a capital referendum. Let's do this right. And so that's what we're asking the community to support or to examine, is getting some of this stuff fixed. So those are probably the most common questions that I've heard, and wanted to just address them. I addressed them at the community forum, and we'll address them again here. If anybody has any questions, I'm more than happy to try to answer them. If I don't have the answers, we'll get the answers for them. And then that presentation from that community forum, actually both of them, both the 11 o'clock and 6 o'clock, they are on YouTube. There is a link from the district website directly to those presentations. And I would encourage our public, if they have not heard it, or if they were not in attendance or have not gotten an opportunity to watch it, do that, okay? Again, become informed about the decisions that are going on. And if questions arise after you watch them, then please contact us, and we'll get you the answers you need.
Okay. I'm guessing a lot of the crowd came out, concerned about the Simons. That's probably, I would say a lot, but I mean, I think that helped your attendance at those things.
Absolutely. I would guess that, and this is all speculative, but I would just guess is certainly that 11 o'clock session, that many of those folks wanted to know what was going on with Simons. And so it was a great opportunity, one, not only to share the information about the referendum, because they're valuable citizens in our community and certainly are going to, pay taxes and are going to be voting on this and may be impacted by it, but it was also important for them to be able to hear from the county that the county and UW are under negotiations. Michael Wendell from the county and the city attorney was there, and he talked about the negotiations that they were under. He couldn't reveal a lot of that stuff just because they are under negotiations, and so legally he had to refrain from some of the details. But it was important for them to hear that where we're at with things, because rumors do grow legs a lot. And so it was a great opportunity for everyone to be able to get the factual information out. And while I think that drew a large number of people to hear more information on that, and maybe they didn't get all the answers they were seeking, maybe it at least prompted them to be a little bit more aware of what's going on in the process.
It is a different time, because as you were talking, I was thinking about the old days. It was possible for school districts to bank money and, buy a new bus if you had bus at that time, or whatever the case might be, at the end of the year.
Correct. And I don't have all of my history exact, but I believe it was about 93 when Tommy Thompson implemented the QEO, the Qualified Economic Offer to unions. And then shortly after that, some of the revenue limit formulas were changed in our state. And so while it may have worked in 93, 94, 95, allowing school districts to, be able to budgetarily manage these things, statewide, our school-age students are down, right? I mean, we don't have as many 4 to 18-year-old students living in Wisconsin that we had in 1993-94. Families aren't having as many children. This is something that's going on statewide, and it certainly affects the rural areas. School districts like Wanakee, Sun Prairie, and the suburbs around larger metropolitan areas probably don't experience the declining enrollment as much as rural schools do, but Southwest Wisconsin schools, Northwest Wisconsin schools, they do face declining enrollment. And when you have declining enrollment, you have declining revenue. And I mentioned at the forum, I said, there are many people in the audience that have probably experienced some sort of a wage increase over the last few years. This was certainly something that the businesses have done, but it likely wasn't enough to keep up with the inflationary rate that was going on. And then there's another group of people in the room that are they're perhaps on fixed income. And so their income revenue is static where their expenses are increasing. That gap continues to get larger. The school districts in the third situation were actually facing less revenue with increased expenses and increased, you know, and everything's gone up. Transportation's gone up, insurance has gone up, utilities have gone up, everything goes up. And the revenue, because of the declining enrollment that many, many school districts are facing, just simply isn't adequate enough to fund education properly. And school districts are, again, forced to go to referendum because that's truly the only opportunity that they have to increase revenue. There are really no additional tactics that they have, unlike perhaps the city or the county that have different funding mechanisms in place.
I recall when the school district, when the referendum finally passed to build, which we're talking about the new school, which is, again, pushing 30 years old. But you got in just kind of under the wire. Can you imagine what that kind of project would cost today?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I kind of asked the folks from Nexus. I said, if you were going to build something like this right now, you know, what would it cost? And they were reluctant to give me, you know, I mean, that was just kind of an off-the-cuff conversation, but, you know, he thought it would be excess of, you know, $85 to $90 million. And I believe we built that for around $14 or $15 million back in 96. I think the referendum was passed in 94. They moved in 96. And so, again, this was right around the time where referendums and funding mechanisms were in place. And shortly after that, you started building in the 2000s, and many school districts did. They weren't aided as much, and again, they were facing some of these other factors. In fact, I believe it was Reedsburg built a brand new school, and they were forced to not even be able to move into it the first year. They had to go back and pass another referendum shortly after that just for an operational. So I believe that was in the late 90s, but we did get in right at the right time, but it is showing its age now, and our maintenance and custodial crew have done a great job of keeping our buildings up to date as much as possible. But there's only so much you can do by cleaning and painting. We do have to get some things fixed.
Sure, absolutely. You recently had a staff survey, I know we talked about that in your minutes, your recent school board meeting, but you released some of those, and what did the survey show? Were there some positive things?
Yeah, there were some positive things, certainly some areas of improvement as well. This was the second year that we did this. Actually, it's the third year, but prior to last year, I believe, you know, it had been 5 or 6 years since we had done a true staff survey on where they were at. I certainly wasn't in my position and probably wasn't even in district office at the time, but we did it last year really because we needed to start figuring out what does our staff think? What does our staff think and believe? And then we wanted to use that data, combine it with parental survey, administrative surveys, school board member surveys, and just general community surveys, and we put that all together, and we had that data drive what our top goals were for the 23-24 school year. We wanted to follow up with a survey to our staff again, now that we had some baseline data, and, you know, have we moved the needle at all? Are we showing signs of improvement? Are we declining? Are we staying status quo? And you know, one of the things that came out of the survey, and this, again, this is all available on our website under our board meeting minutes, but the top three things that our staff felt, were our strengths of our school district is, number one was they felt an extremely close relationship to their coworkers. Now, that makes me feel really good, right? We scored in the 80th percentile of 1,000 different school districts. 4.4 out of 5, you know, felt that way, 5 being, you know, extremely good relationships. We know statistically that when employees feel connected with the folks that they work with, that they enjoy coming to work, they have good relationships with their peers, they're more apt to stay there. And so it was really good to see that, you know, our staff genuinely likes being around our other staff members, right? And I don't know that everybody in their jobs can say that, but our staff can say that. And I think it's something that we want to get out there, that this is a really good place to work and the people that we have in here are really good to work with. So that was the top thing. Second thing that they felt with a strength was that they had access to the technology support that they needed. We have a great IT staff and great supports in play for them to be able to do that. And then the third, this is probably the one I'm most proud of, is that our third strength was that all students, there's a process in play for all of our students to have a positive connection with at least one adult. And we scored a 4.15. on that. We were in the 90th percentile. But the reason that that's so important to me is that a year ago, okay, November of 2022, staff took the same survey, and that was our lowest scoring metric question of the entire survey. We scored in the 8th percentile on that question right there. Less than 3 out of a rating of 5. And so that became one of our primary goals. That was priority 1, goal 1, to make sure that our students had a positive connection with at least one adult in our school district. We've made a major emphasis on this. We've got a good process in play. And you can see by the results, we jumped from the 8th percentile all the way up to the 90th percentile, an 82 percentile difference. And that's a tremendous jump. We turned a true weakness of ours into a strength of ours, because we aligned our resources. We all had the same vision, and we were able to move the needle on that. And I think that that's what's important about surveys, is if you just survey people and do nothing with them, people will get survey fatigue. They don't want to take surveys if nothing happens, right? But this is a great example of, hey, we recognize this, we listen to our folks, and this was a weakness of ours. We put a lot of priorities into it, and now we've turned it into a strength because those folks talked about it. They mentioned this as a weakness and something we needed to improve on. So I'm very proud of that. Three of the things that, you know, our staff recognized as potentially weaknesses, again, pay practice is the third from the bottom, 2.99 out of 5, the scored right around the 50th percentile. But this is, again, as we kind of bring both of these topics together, one of the reasons that we need this question one, that we're asking for this, is so that we can pay our staff competitive wages, because our staff feel that their wages are not comparable. And again, this is not just teachers, this is all of our staff. Everyone in our district took this survey. Second thing from the bottom was meeting the social and emotional needs of our students. And this is, my guess would be that this will become a top priority of ours, meeting the mental health needs. First, we had to make sure that they had connections with adults, and I'm guessing that this will fall right in line and become one of our major points moving into the future. Again, social and emotional needs of students is something that's all districts are facing post-pandemic, and something that all students schools have to be aware of, and certainly something that we are. And then the last one, and where we scored the least, was the question that centered around, do you feel that the community and the parents in the community support the school district? And this was our lowest scoring grade. It was a 2-point in the twos, 2.8, I believe, was the exact score. But we were in the third percentile for this. And so our staff and the folks that work in our school district don't feel supported by our community and our parents. And so that's something that we're going to have to work with them on to figure out why don't our staff feel supported, and what can our parents and community do to support the school district. And, you know, we don't know if it's, you know, a couple of parents that maybe have had conflict with, or if it's social media. You know, you think about our community has Facebook pages dedicated to just people to be able to rant, right? And so there's a lot of negativity that goes on in social media that can take its toll on our staff. Or if there's other reasons, we don't know those reasons, but it is something that we've got to dig into, because it's disheartening to me to think that, you know, we've got such wonderful parents and students and community members and staff members, that the perception there is that they don't feel supported. And so we want to try to shift that and try to make sure that we're all working together towards that common goal.
Pretty important to be proactive on something like that, isn't it?
I think so. And I think that's the value of surveys, Phil, because when we get surveys, and again, if you don't do anything with them, people won't continue to take surveys. But if we take that and we really look at, you know, the data, right? And not be afraid of the data, right? I mean, it's disheartening to me that some of these things are weaknesses. You know, I think we've made some progress. In fact, our pay practices, we've improved, but it's still one of our lowest three things. And so that's an area that we have to improve on. By having concrete data, it allows us to not only have a baseline, but really to formulate a plan moving forward, be proactive, as you just mentioned, and then try to move the needle on these things. And much like the, you know, getting all students to have a connection with at least one adult in a positive way, turn those weaknesses into strengths and really, really move the needle on that. As a whole, you know, that survey, just to kind of wrap up the survey, our staff, out of a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being extremely likely, 1 being unlikely, scored a 7.08 on how likely they were to recommend the Richland School District as a place of employment. So our staff do value, again, their coworkers. They value working for the Richland School District. They recommend to their friends working in the Richland School District. And so, again, they like working in the Richland School District. We've got to do our job as a school district and as a community and in supporting our staff and making sure that they've got good pay practices.
Definitely. As a staff person, I think they have to feel good that they have each other's backs and things like that. And, you know, that the first thing you mentioned there about getting along with each other and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I think that that's probably more important than pay. I think most people, if they really enjoy working with the people that they're working with, I know I can say that there isn't a day that goes by that I don't laugh at work with my coworkers, enjoy spending time with them. They're truly valuable people to me. I love coming to work, right? And if everybody can say that because they enjoy the people that they're working with, they may not enjoy every second of every day, but generally speaking, if they enjoy their jobs, enjoy the people that they're working with, it just makes such an enjoyable atmosphere. And that directly impacts the way we treat students, right? When we're happy, when we like the people that we're working with, we're going to treat other people better. It's just natural. And I think that's one of the things that we're doing and making positive change.
Sounds good. Steve Board, our guest here on The Morning Show, representing the Richland School District, and we'll have more after the break.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Garrett with Betesnik Power Sports and V2 Boat Center. How many summers do you have to create everlasting memories that will last a lifetime? Come and see how we can help you create more family time with friends, just more time with a new boat. Join us at our in-house boat show, February 23rd to the 25th at Betesnik's in Richland Center, and take advantage of savings up to $16,000. New boat, new experiences, and new savings at Betesnik Power Sports, Richland Center, and V2 Boat Center, Castle Rock Lake.
Wiscoat is a local, family-oriented company based in Lone Rock, Wisconsin, ready to serve your family or business with the service that defines the Wiscoat mission, where quality and honesty meet. Wiscoat is a one-stop solution for driveways long or short and parking lots large or small. Estimates are always free. Now is the time to call 1-800-BLACKTOP so you're on the schedule for next spring. That's 1-800-BLACKTOP. Wiscoat cares as much about your asphalt and everything around it as you do. 1-800-BLACKTOP. It's the right call right now. Don't miss the annual Driftless Area Deer Classic, Saturday, February 24th from 9 to 5 at the Richland Center Community Center. Bring in your deer head to be entered for a chance to win a gun. Enjoy interesting vendors, bucket and gun raffles, a trail camera photo contest. Sheds are welcome but will not be scored. Come enjoy food and beverages. Admission is just $5, kids 12 and under free. Pre-register Friday night, February 23rd from 5 until 9, or Saturday from 9 until noon. For more information, phone 475-4963. The Driftless Area Deer Classic, Saturday, February 24th at the Richland Center Community Center.
Indulge your taste buds at the Richland Locker. This week's specials include a treat for meat lovers. Savor the tenderness of boneless country ribs at just $2.98 per pound. Craving a burst of flavor? Try the mesquite barbecue country ribs, only $3.98 per pound. Quality meats, unbeatable prices. Visit them at downtown Richland Center and elevate your dining experience. Richland Locker, where every bite is a delight.
At Julie Karen State Farm, we're passionate about helping neighbors at all stages of life. The new driver, the new parent, the home buyer, the cycle riders, to the captains of boats. From your first job to the retiring couple ready to enjoy their golden years, important milestones and life's unexpected events, we choose to care for the people with the need, not just the risks and needs. Our goal is to take the confusion out of finding the right coverage. Stop by our office in Richland Center. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom. And when they come home.
I had just come home from serving over in Germany. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. And I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed for the rest of my life.
I was on a routine patrol. And we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America, because they've kept their promise to never leave a fallen soldier behind. A roof over their heads, accessible homes, cars, jobs, benefits.
PVA has brought me back to life.
Show them their sacrifice hasn't been in vain. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Welcome back to the Morning Show on WRCO. Steve Bohr, District Administrator with the Richland School District, is our guest. Steve, you have some opportunities for the community to kind of hear what you're talking about and needs of the school. Tell us about the upcoming walking tours.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't necessarily need to go into a lot of the referendum details. We've talked about that on the Morning Show. Again, the community forum is there's video links from our website. All those details are included in there. But we are going to host four different, we're calling them talking tours, where we get an opportunity to talk to the community, and the community can ask questions and in a forum style. It won't be a big community forum like we did, you know, recently at the bowling alley. This will be school specific, and it will be referendum specific. A lot of the same information, if not the same information, will be relayed during a brief presentation to the public, an opportunity for them to ask questions to administration or submit questions, and we can get answers back to them. But then probably more importantly, an opportunity for them to, after we've talked, to tour the buildings and see for themselves firsthand with their own eyes, you know, some of the conditions and some of the spaces that we have, some of the restrooms and how small and outdated they are, and to imagine what it would be like to try to navigate around those in a wheelchair, to see some of the doors that have been rusted. Again, you and I were talking, you know, we had a great wrestling event here this last weekend at Richland Center High School, but when you walk in to our gym from the outside and the back, you know, you can see light coming through the bottoms of those doors. And again, this is our newest building. So we do have some exterior doors that need to be replaced, some windows that are extremely energy inefficient that need to be replaced. There are drafts that just makes it not efficient to heat or cool. And if you're going to put air conditioning in buildings, you've got to have energy efficient envelopes and things like that. So this will give the folks an opportunity to, again, hear the presentation. If maybe they've already heard it and they just have some questions that have come up, they can email me, but they can also come to these sessions and ask them as well. If they're very detailed, we may need some time to get it. But for the most part, I think we should be able to answer most of the questions that are going on. So that first talking tour that we've got will be next Wednesday. It's February 21st. It will be at 6 o'clock, and that will be held at the Richland Center Primary School. Again, that's formerly known as Doudna. It's the Richland Center Primary School on Bowman Drive. And that will be on Wednesday, February 21st at 6 p.m. Then on Wednesday, March 6th, we will do a similar talk and tour at the Richland Center Intermediate School, formerly known as our middle school on Highway 80 South, on March 6th at 6 p.m. The presentation will be very similar, but again, it would give people an opportunity to see for themselves the condition of some of the space that we've got in that building. And then we'll be doing two more on March 25th. We'll be doing one in the morning, just to try to accommodate those that maybe have different schedules than the evening would allow for them. Monday, March 25th at 10 a.m. would be at the Richland Center High School. and then a tour to follow, and then a similar one that same evening, March 25th, at 5 p.m., again, this is a Monday night, at Richland Center High School. Those will be held in the high school auditorium, and again, afterwards, they can view and tour the facility. The facility up there at the high school is a beautiful facility, but it does have some infrastructure problems that are going on. So there are four opportunities for community members and those that are interested to learn more about the referendum, what's involved in the referendum, to hear that presentation again, or for the first time, and then ask follow-up questions, but then also to tour the buildings and the facilities that our students are getting their education in.
The winter sports starting to wrap up here pretty quickly, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quick. I think back, 20 years ago as I was coaching, this was such an exciting time. You get to the end of February, tournaments are right around the corner, and you're scouting teams and traveling all over to try to figure out, what your pathway might look like. And so I know that our coaches, our winter coaches, are all excited about this time of year. There's renewed optimism. It doesn't matter, how your season has gone. You get to the tournaments, you're 0-0, and anybody has a chance to, catch a little lightning in a bottle and make a little run in the tournament. And there's just something about that tournament atmosphere as you advance that is just something special about high school sports. So, our girls basketball, our boys basketball, our girls are wrapping up this week. They will be traveling to Dodgeville next Tuesday for their first regional game. Our boys basketball, they're wrapping up next week. They should find out their tournament assignment sometime after this weekend. So we'll see where they are going or hosting. Our wrestling, they just had this, as we mentioned, their regionals here. They've got sectionals coming up. We've got a handful of students advancing to that. We're wishing them the best, and hopefully we have some representation at the state tournament. Our cheerleading has done a fantastic job supporting everyone. And those are just the athletics. And we have, a plethora of extracurricular activities available to our students as well. There was a recent band concert. We've got a choir concert coming up. The Pops concerts are right around the corner. Solo and ensemble is right around the corner. And so this is an exciting time of year, not only as the weather turns and gets a little nicer, but an opportunity for our students to show off their talents outside of the academic arena and some of their other areas of interest. And so it's a fun time, and spring sports will be right around the corner. And before you know it, we'll have spring break, and we'll be well into Easter and soon graduation. It's flying by.
Right. And the time when a lot of the seniors are looking at sign up for scholarships and things like that. Your juniors are looking at next year and getting ready for senior year. So it's a time of transition this time.
Yeah, it really is. There's a lot going on right now. I know our students, as you mentioned, are talking about, scheduling and what they're going to be taking next year. Scholarship application window is going on. Those are right around the corner. ECCP courses that high school students can take at a college, a UW, or a technical school. Those applications are due on March 1st, so there's opportunities there for students to earn college credit while they're in high school, and possibly even have that paid for without any out-of-pocket expense or perhaps minimal, depending on the criteria. But just a lot of exciting things happening in our school district right now and for our students of all ages. And again, as that weather turns, there's just that extra excitement that goes on and just a lot of cool things going on.
Cool things. And we just like to see students involved in things too. And, and when we get back to sports, one of the things that just blow my mind is the number of girls' teams are down so much in numbers. Even the big schools, Richland Center played at La Crosse Central recently, and they didn't have a JV team.
Yeah, yeah. And you think about La Crosse, how can they not?
Right,
how can La Crosse Central not have, 20 kids out? They can accommodate two teams. But yeah, this is a growing trend, and this was something that I saw in the latter years of my coaching, career, and certainly something I see now as an administration, and something that the WIA has to really consider the whys, right? And I wish that they would take a little bit more proactive approach in sending out surveys to our female athletes and use that data to really drive what they want. I think a lot of, our Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association in the state is extremely, well-numbered, well-represented. They have great rapport with the WIA, but I'm not exactly sure that all of the visions that coaches have necessarily align with the reasons that kids aren't going out for sports. And this is anecdotal. I don't have any data to support this, but what I saw is that, you know, basketball is a really long season, and it covers two major holidays with Thanksgiving and Christmas, a lot of time away from families and a lot of commitment. And instead of adding games and doing things like that, which the WIA and the WBCA have jointly done over the last few years, I think they're up to 24 games now that they can play. I really think they need to condense the season, or at least look at that. But I think, you know, I think that they would gain a lot of valuable information if they would just send out a survey and really figure out why some of the numbers are down. Because, you know, our program, I believe, has 11 or 12 kids in it right now. As you mentioned, Lacrosse Central, you know, didn't have a JV team. And there are a number of schools across the state where numbers are down. Boys sport numbers seem to be up a little bit, you know, maybe not up, but certainly not this big decline. Certainly there are school districts that may be suffering for whatever the reasons are. But female sports, specifically in the winter, those numbers are down, and they're down as a state, and it's definitely a trend that has not reversed and probably hasn't even plateaued, and it's concerning to me and something I think we need to really look at.
It makes you wonder how many more three or even four sport athletes we'll have for, you know, letter winners, because that used to be kind of a trend where you'd see those athletes stay out. But anymore, it's more specialization, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And again, that's a little disheartening. You know, we all as coaches wanted our students to be, you know, putting a lot of time into that particular sport. But we have to remember, you know, keeping them well-rounded as individuals and being involved in a variety of different things. Not only prevents, you know, injury, you know, due to, you know, specific muscle use, you know, that when you specialize in a sport, you're using those same muscles over and over again, and you can get repetitive use injuries more frequently. So by playing different sports, using different muscle groups, that makes you a better athlete overall. But it also, you know, it's gotten so competitive that kids just don't want to put in the time, you know, that they need to. And again, their time is being pulled in a lot of different directions. We have more adolescents working jobs now than mm-hmm. we've ever had before. And, you know, they want to still be involved socially. And so asking them to put in extra time in the summer or the commitments that's going on the season, I get their, you know, why they feel that way. And that's why I think we have to look systematically at making some change. Again, not locally, but at a statewide level.
Open enrollment season right now as well, and you always encourage parents to take a look at the Richland District.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is not to try to steal students from other districts. I support public education wholeheartedly, and I support all of our area schools. We have students in our school district that the Richland School District maybe isn't the best fit for them, and they need a different environment. And there are probably some students out there that are in other districts that maybe that district isn't the best for them. The great thing about open enrollment is it allows parents and students to truly try to find the best learning environment for them. And learning environment is a lot of academics, so you know what kind of academic needs they have, but it also includes some of these extracurricular opportunities that they have, club activities that they have available to them. You know, Richland School District has many sport offerings. We have a tremendous fine arts department. Our choral department and our band are second to none. And that's evident by how well they do year in and year out at the solo ensemble, individually and as a group. You know, we have just a tremendous amount of kids involved in these things. And so if we're going to toot our horn in those areas, you know, we have a lot of clubs that are offered. There is got to be something for every student that we have if they're willing to put themselves out there and be involved in things from NHS to student council to, you know, reading clubs to art clubs to Spanish clubs to everything in between, right? We have just a plethora of opportunities for students. And if they have an interest in something, we have a gaming club, you know? So if students are just interested in those kinds of things, there are opportunities available for them, computer clubs, the list goes on and on. And so we just have so many great opportunities. We've got what I feel great supports. We're making sure that our students have positive connections with adults. We're making sure that they have positive connections with their peers. We can't guarantee that every day is going to go perfect, right? But we can guarantee a quality education and a good environment where our staff are dedicated individuals that that care about students and want to be involved in their the students' success in academics. So open enrollment window is currently open. This is the traditional window. There are really not a lot of questions asked. You can just go up to the district office, fill out open enrollment papers. That would get approved. After the window closes in April, there's what's called the alternative open enrollment. Even if you do miss the deadline, there still are opportunities, but there are a few more hoops to jump through during the alternative open enrollment process than this traditional, you know, 2.5 month window that opened here in February and is currently open and goes through April. So we would encourage them to check it out and check out what we have to offer. And even if they don't feel like it's a great move right now, at least explore it. Find out all the great things that are going on in the Richland School District and let us know if we can answer any questions.
It truly is. We talk about some of the challenges, but I think it's truly an exciting time to be in education because of all the advances and things like that. And I was thinking about your referendum. If it does go through, I think there's an upgrade for your internet and all of those services, which I think is probably going to be badly needed as we head to the future too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Technology is not going away, right? So we have to make sure that we have the infrastructure in place, and we've got some of the components, but again, budgetary restraints just don't allow us to do everything quickly. And the problem with technology is that if you can't do it quickly, by the time you get it done, it's changed, right? It just things
sure.
change so quickly.
Yep.
This is a great opportunity to be in education. As you hit it perfect. I know that there are a lot of challenges in education, but we're looking for quality individuals that want to work for the Richland School District, students that want to be part of here. We're just approaching our big hiring window, you know, as I'm sure many school districts are. And while we've got what appears to be really, really high retention rate with our staff this year, we do have a few positions open. They're posted on WECAN, WECAN, Wisconsin. If they just Googled that, we've got a lot of opportunities available, and we'd love to have, you know, quality staff think about joining the Richland School District team and family and, the positive culture that we have, and consider applying for those openings as well.
Sounds good, Steve. Always good stuff. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it as always. Thank you.
You bet. Steve Board from the Richland District here on today's morning show.
Hey, Jason Schultz here with USA Mortgage. Is 2024 your year to buy a house? I can help you with an FHA loan, a VA loan, a USDA loan, a conventional loan, or a first-time home buyer loan. And if you give me a call and you say you heard my ad on WRCO or WRCE or whatever it is now, I will pay up to $250 towards your appraisal. So give me a call, let your questions be answered, and let's get comfortable and let's build a relationship and let me and my team help you buy a house in 2024. 608-604-5068.
When you visit the Shoebox, it's like going back in time, with customer service being the number one priority. Now is the time to visit the Shoebox, with track, baseball, and softball season soon getting underway. The Shoebox takes pride in making sure all athletes get the pair of shoes they need to compete at a high level. From the beginner athlete all the way to the pros, you'll receive service like it ought to be at the Shoebox in Black Earth.
Is it too late for me to become physically active? Should I take special precautions? Hi, this is Tracy at Simon's Recreation Complex. More and more older adults are proving that you are never too old to exercise. When starting a program, you should take some precautions. Check with your doctor before beginning an exercise program. Don't try to do too much too fast. Exercise in an intensity appropriate for you. Pick activities that are fun, that suit your needs, and can be done year-round. Wear comfortable clothing and footwear. Take more time to warm up and cool down before and after a workout. Stretch slowly. Simon's Recreation Complex is a participating member of the Silver Sneakers, Silver and Fit, and Renew Active programs, which are leading fitness programs designed specifically for older adults. Silver Sneakers, Silver and Fit, and Renew Active incorporates the above precautions in all of their exercise classes. Call or stop in today with your Medicare Supplement Insurance card. You may be eligible for a free membership to Simon's Recreation Complex, including all classes. Stop by today and learn why many of our adults refer to Simon's Recreation Complex as their personal fountain of youth. Let Simon's Recreation Complex show you how to increase your energy levels while decreasing the aches and pains of aging. Let Simon's Recreation Complex and Richland Center be your partner in change. Remember, you provide the commitment to fitness, and we have the means to make it happen.
time to celebrate at Dunkin' in Richland Center with something new. Now introducing the Frosty Red Velvet Specialty Donut, a red velvet cake base topped with vanilla flavor icing and cream cheese flavored sprinkles, promising a rich and delightful experience. Wash it down with the all-new White Hazelnut Bark Coffee, a drink inspired by fans' adoration for toasted white chocolate swirl. The drink marries the flavors of warm toasted hazelnut with the sweetness of creamy white chocolate flavor to create an inviting drink regardless of whether it's served hot or iced. And remember, Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home in Spring Green. Want to give your house a new look? Whether it's one room or a whole house, we can help. From the industry's best Karastan carpet to exceptional hardwood floors by Mirage, or even if it's vinyl plank, we have